Hi, and welcome back to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. My name is Christian, and today we are here with Christopher Anderson, Director of Energy Resources for Georgia Environmental Finance Authority. Did I say that right? Did I get all that?
Yep.
Welcome to the podcast, Christopher.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from? How did you get into this work?
Yeah, so I've been with GFA for about 15 years now, so pretty long time, but I've been in Atlanta in the state of Georgia for about 20. I actually grew up in the state of Wisconsin, moved down here after undergrad to go to grad school at Georgia Tech.
Nice.
Studied city and regional planning, and always had kind of a passion and interest in environmental and energy issues and those kinds of programs. And so I found the opportunity, spent a few years in consulting first, and then found the opportunity back in 2010 to join GFA, and I've been there ever since. I always worked on energy programs of varying sorts at GFA, and I'm fascinated by energy. I love the policy and programs around it. It's always evolving, and new things are happening, exciting developments in technology and so on. So it's a good place to be to learn about those topics and to operate programs that that are all about energy and helping people with their energy costs, helping communities with energy issues. We tackle a wide range of things.
Nice. And that's really why we wanted you on the podcast. We at Georgia Conservation Voters, we do so much work around not only just clean energy, but affordable energy, right? That's become a thing in recent years here in Georgia. People's electricity bills are through the roof. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Georgia is now number 3 in the nation for highest utility bills. And so it's really interesting to be able to bring resources like ones that GFA offers. So speaking of that, tell me about some of these programs. So GFA recently expanded its home energy rebate program. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so our home energy rebate program launched last fall in November of 2024. It's a program that was created by federal law, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And it's a program that's designed to give states funding so that each state and territory can develop and operate their own energy efficiency and electrification rebate programs. And so it's made up of two separate programs that I can get into more details on. But we had the opportunity to apply for the funds, and we applied for the funds back in spring 2024. Spent more time developing the program structure and the mechanics of how it would operate. And we went out with a pilot launch on both of the programs, the home efficiency program and the home electrification and appliance rebate program. We collectively call those the home energy rebates. And so we launched the pilot in fall of 2024 and have been growing it ever since. And now we're at the point where I think we've just issued about $4.5 million worth of rebates across the state. And so it's really taking off, and we're constantly thinking of new ways to engage more people across the state. We're bringing on new channels that the rebates can go through. So we're excited about the opportunity and the growth and the potential that it has to help a significant number of Georgians across the state.
Nice. So who qualifies for these rebate offers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it depends on which of the two programs you want to participate in. So the home efficiency, or whole home efficiency sometimes as we call it, that side of the programs, anyone can participate in. So no matter how much money you make, there's a path for you to be able to participate in that program. And the rebates that you get depend on not only how much energy you can save in your project as it's determined by an energy model that's done on the home, but also your income level. So if you are at or below 80% area median income, or AMI, you're able to get a larger rebate, up to $16,000 potentially. If you're above 80% AMI, depending on what county you live in, you're able to get up to about $4,000 in rebates. So that program is designed to provide extra support and help to lower income residents in the state. But it also has a pathway for Georgians of any income to participate as well in order to make their house more efficient. The other program, the HEAR program, as we call it, the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate Program, that program is limited to anyone who's 150% AMI or below. So it's really targeted towards low to moderate income households across the state. If you are below 80% AMI, you have access to a larger rebate. If you're between 80 and 150% AMI, it's a reduced rebate, but still a pretty substantial number to help those folks out as well.
Okay, and when you say AMI, that's area median income.
Correct.
I just want to make sure our viewers are aware, because that's super helpful. So you said up to folks could potentially get a rebate offer up to $16,000. Is that?
Yeah, on the whole home efficiency side. On the HEAR side, it's a little bit lower. It's about $14,000 in total rebates that you can access. A significant number to go towards really a significant project in your house.
And so tell me, what role does GEFA see home energy efficiency playing in the broader fight against like high energy bills? I mean, you pretty much named it, but yeah, just talk about like how in real time, like how soon would people maybe see changes in their utility bills?
Yeah, well, we think it's a really powerful tool for a household or family to be able to reduce their energy bills in the state. And you mentioned early on Georgia's high energy bills. And, you know, there's a couple of things at play in that conversation. There's the rates you pay and what those cost, and then the size of your house, the climate that you live in, and so on. And certainly in Georgia, we have a warm climate, a lot of air conditioning use, and a sizable amount of larger homes and perhaps homes that need more efficiency work. And so you combine all those things and you get to the size of the utility bill that an individual or a family pays each month. And so we know that in a lot of cases, there's a lot of residents across the state that have high utility bills that they struggle to pay for every month. And we have a lot of firsthand experience in that because we've been operating the Weatherization Assistance Program, which is an energy efficiency program for low-income households that's been around since the 1970s. So we hear firsthand from residents across the state who do struggle to pay their bills. So on the home energy rebates, it's another tool like the weatherization program. It's another tool for people to be able to invest into their homes and reduce their energy bills. It's a pretty quick process, really, from the time where you say, hey, I think I need to do something in my house. I've got an issue here that I need to address. Contact a contractor that's in our approved contractor network. And as soon as they're able to come out and do an energy audit, we move people through the process pretty quick. There's a process to do income verification to make sure to see what category they fall into to determine what size the rebate can be. But we can make that happen in a matter of really, you could probably have a contractor out and do your project within just a matter of a handful of weeks and then start seeing your energy savings. So it can be almost as quick as the resident wants it to be.
Okay, nice. That's good to know for folks who are interested in this. Now, I know you mentioned that you all do help low-income housing. This is available for everyone in the state of Georgia, but are there any communities in particular, maybe high energy burden communities that you all focus on? Or from within?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's a statewide program. We want to make sure that the dollars flow to every county in the state. We are paying special attention to make sure that we get this funding out to parts of the state that maybe are a little bit harder to get to, maybe a little bit more off the beaten path, and making sure that we have contractors in those rural parts of the state, certainly the southern part of the state, especially. Identifying contractors who can serve those areas so that people in those communities have contractors they can go to. Also, we're doing marketing and we've launched marketing in a number of parts of the state. We're trying to really find ways to get word out across the entire state so that we don't leave certain parts of the state behind. And that's something that we're tracking. You know, we have dashboarding capability on the data. We can look and see a heat map of where our applications are coming in from. Certainly, we've had good uptake so far in the Metro Atlanta area, and that's kind of natural because of the number of contractors we have in there and, of course, the population. But we're targeting areas that where we aren't seeing as many applications come through as well. So it's something that we're keenly aware of and really want to make sure that that every corner of the state has access, knows about the program, and feels like they can participate.
And so speaking of that, how are you all getting the word out? How is this being advertised? Are you working with community organizations or
yeah.
any other?
Yeah, we early on in the process, we've had a range of stakeholders involved. So we've incorporated stakeholder feedback in the design of the program, and we're still continuing to talk to community organizations. For instance, we are in the process of launching a pilot with two community action agencies in the state, one in Middle Georgia, one in Southwest Georgia, where residents will be able to walk into their local community action office and get information about the program, apply. And we're excited about that because a lot of people who have needs know about community action, know to go in and seek resources. And so this will be another pathway to reach those folks. And so we're excited about that. We're also regularly engaging with our utility partners across the state. We're engaging with certain other nonprofits like South Face Institute, as an example. They've done a number of events in certain parts of the state to promote the program, including here in Atlanta, but also up in the mountains. And we're always looking for new ways to find new organizations to partner with. On the marketing point, we have billboards in parts of the state, so those are up and live. I think those went live in early July or late June. We have some radio and TV ads that are airing in markets across the state, and we also have a range of social media advertisement as well. And we're working with a marketing firm who's really providing us with good data and resources to be able to tackle that all over the state, and we're looking at new ways we can do that as well.
Nice. That's so good to hear because I do think the word needs to be out, and I definitely have seen some of the ads now that you say it on social media, so that's good. Now, tell me a little bit, shifting just slightly, the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant. I saw this on your website. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, that's a program that we've had a couple of times over the years as funding has been made available by Congress for that program. It was created back around 2004, 2005, I think, and then first funded in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act back around 2009, and then funded again by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, or the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law in 21. And so that funding from that program goes through a couple different channels, but it's really targeted towards local governments in the state to do energy efficiency planning, energy efficiency upgrades, fleet electrification, things of that nature to help those local governments reduce their energy bills or transition parts of their fleet, really whatever they think is needed in their community on the energy front. And so large communities like, for instance, City of Atlanta are getting their funds directly from the Department of Energy. The funds that flow through to GEFA, we've targeted those towards small local governments primarily across the state who didn't get direct access from the U.S. Department of Energy. So we've awarded a number, almost 20, not quite 20, grants, subawards to local governments all across the state to do their projects. Primarily, it's going to be a lot of energy efficiency building upgrades of their municipal or county buildings that they want to upgrade. So we're excited about that. That's going to have, I think, a really good impact for those communities who are able to go through that process and access those funds to reduce their energy bills.
Nice. I think as I scoured your website, I was also looking at some other things, and I recall seeing something about water infrastructure as well. Tell me about some of the programs that you all offer for the water infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll back up for just a minute and talk about our organization as a whole at GEFA. And so we're really kind of primarily two primary operating units within GEFA. We have the Water Resources Division, and then we have the Energy Resources Division.
Gotcha.
And so the Energy Resources Division serves as what's called the state's energy office. Pretty much every state and territory has an entity that they call the state energy office. And so we serve in that role, and those are the programs that I work with. And then also on the water side, we are essentially an infrastructure bank for water projects around the state. And we use a combination of federal funds from EPA and then also state funds as well to provide primarily low interest loans to local governments all over the state to upgrade their water infrastructure. So whether it's repairing, replacing drinking water lines, new sewers, treatment plants, all those kinds of things, local governments can come to us and get financing at below market rates. There's sometimes some element of principal forgiveness as well, where they can write down a portion of the, or get rid of a portion of the loan cost. So it's a range of resources really for local governments to be able to help them implement projects on the water side that they know they need to implement. And I think one of the great things about that is it's especially useful for those communities who are more in need, maybe don't have as good of access to the financial markets because of their size or credit issues or whatever it may be. And so we're able to help those communities who need access to clean drinking water or water, other kinds of water treatment. So that's really a primary part of GFUN has been for decades.
Good. And, you know, water infrastructure is one of those things that varies city from city. So I'll ask you the same question as with the energy rebate. Are there any cities in Georgia that you're prioritizing?
That's a good question. I don't want to get on a limb and speak for the water side because those aren't my programs. You know, they do, like I said, they do try to target especially communities that have that extra need. You know, every state is going to have communities who are fortunate enough to be able to really help themselves on those kinds of issues and have access to the financing markets and have the funds to be able to do most of what they need to do on their own. But certainly there's a lot of communities who need extra help. And so it's not so much targeting from a geographical perspective, targeting of identifying and reaching out to those communities who we know need the extra assistance that the low interest loans and perhaps some principal forgiveness can provide them with.
Yeah, and that was going to be the next question I ask you. I know water isn't your department necessarily, so I won't put you on the spot too much there. But that was one of the concerns that came up was could the changes to water or the upgrades to water infrastructure potentially lead to higher water costs for folks? But it sounds like you've named that there are some measures put in place.
Well, it's a real issue, and there are certainly communities who need to do work in their communities, and they have to have a way to pay for it. Right. And so, of course, one way to pay for it is to increase rates. But one of the tools in the toolbox is that GFA can offer low-interest loans and sometimes some amount of grant funding to help them lower the cost of those projects so that maybe they either don't have to raise rates or they raise the rates less than they would have had to otherwise if they had to go find other sources of money. So certainly, water costs are a concern for communities, and this is a way that we can help them keep those rates lower than they might otherwise be.
So with that being said, are there any measures to integrate renewable energy sources into either of those programs, the water or the the energy rebate program, like solar power, water treatment pump stations, is anything like that?
Yeah, and we actually have some experience with that on the water side. We've been involved in I don't know the specific number off the top of my head, but a couple of projects over the years where we've helped provide funding for a water system to install solar on their facilities to help offset their energy costs. Certainly, that's something that we have been involved with. On the home energy rebate side, renewables or really any kind of power generation is not part of that. It's not an eligible technology in those programs. So that's just the way it was set up by Congress. We have done other projects or programs within the Energy Division where we've helped provide incentives for solar systems, including solar with backup battery, to critical local government facilities across the state. So a community that needs backup power, for instance, say for their fire station or something along the 911 center, or something along those lines. We have provided funding to those kinds of projects to an extent over the years. Some of that funding we you know, run for a few years, and then we change something up based on what we're hearing from the communities, what we're hearing from industry, kind of what people are looking for. We've had some involvement in incentives for solar, I would say, for over a decade, really. As to how much of that we do in the future really just kind of depends on a combination of funding, what programs might flow out of the Department of Energy, and then also, you know, what we're hearing from our communities around the state and what kind of assistance they're looking for.
Nice. We at GCV, we have a program that's geared toward making Georgia 100% clean and renewable by the year 2050. Yes, it's a large, ambitious goal, but, you know, I think with programs like this and a little touches here and there, we can actually get close to achieving that goal. A lot of other orgs that we work with also, you know, have their own initiatives toward advancing us toward cleaner and renewable energy. How can those orgs or community members take part or help in some of this work? Is there a way for our orgs to partner with you?
Well, that's a good question. We're always looking for stakeholders and partners who have interest to advance energy infrastructure kinds of projects in the state. We may or may not have funding for specific types of projects or amounts of projects, depending on where we're at and different grant cycles or different funding programs that are made available to us. But we're always looking to hear from whether it's industry or local governments to see what they're interested in, what they need, and figure out what we may be able to partner on. And I'll add, not on this example, not on the renewable side, but on the energy efficiency side, we've really been working very hard across the Home Energy Rebate Program to work with partners across industry, whether it's manufacturers of technology, all of our utilities, and our utilities have been a great partner in the rebate program as well, really coming to the table to help us figure out how to maximize these rebates and maximize savings for residents across the state. And also engaging with nonprofit partners as well. We're working on some ideas there. We've got some things in the works, and we want to be a good partner to those who want to come and help support our programs. And we're our ears to the ground on new things that may bubble up. So, our door's pretty open, and we're always interested to hear what people are thinking and what they might want to partner with us on.
So tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can reach out, where they can possibly apply for some of these amazing opportunities.
Yeah, so we have a website. You can go to Google and search for GEFA, Georgia Environmental Finance Authority. We have GEFA.ga.gov. You can come to our website, learn about all the programs. We also have energyrebates.ga.gov, which is the very specific energy rebate website. You can read all through what the different allowable types of projects are, what the income qualifications are. You can search for contractors. We have some calculators to help you figure out potential rebate size, things of that nature. So, and more is on the way. We're always looking at new ways to improve the website on the rebate program to get more information out. We've got FAQs. So I would encourage you, anyone listening, to go to that website, dig into it, and once they decide they want to or might want to move forward with the project, they can reach out to a contractor that's on our contractor list on the website. We have over 70 contractors across the state who are participating, and that list is really growing by the week. So pretty much all the information that one might need is there. If they do want to talk to a real live human, we have a phone number as well on that website that they can call. And they can call someone direct who will help answer their questions, can provide them with assistance over the phone on how to apply, help them with their application, and so on. So I think there's a pretty good range of resources depending on what folks might need to get into the program.
That's been super helpful. Chris, those are really all of the questions I have for you. I really appreciate you coming onto the show today. And just talking to our listeners, we do so much work around like what's going wrong in Georgia. I love to be able to do episodes where we're talking about what's going right. And this is one of those things that I think is going right. So thank you for your time. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on and giving us an opportunity to talk about the rebate program and other exciting things that are happening at GEFA.